Welcome, my name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life. And if you wouldn't mind to take your copy of the Word of God and turn with me to the book of 1 John. The book of 1 John towards the end of your Bible. We've been walking through this book and we're now just on our last couple messages of walking through this book. Only five chapters, yet it is one of the most important books for born-again believer because this is a book that tells us more of how we can know that we know that we know that we have eternal life by giving us little evidences of us being saved and the fruit that happens as we're close to the Lord. And so we now find our way to the book of 1 John in chapter number 4. The book of 1 John chapter number 4. And if you don't mind, let's look together. 1 John chapter 4. And let's begin at verse number 7. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And this was manifested, the love of God toward us, because that God had sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God, whom he hath not seen? And this commandment hath we from him, that he who loveth God loveth his brother also. And if you're the habit of marking things in your Bible, would you mark a phrase that's actually listed all throughout here, but for these two words together in verse number 18, 1 John chapter 5, or chapter 4 and verse 18, where it says, perfect love. And all throughout this passage, we have the word love, and all throughout this passage, we have the idea of perfect or perfecteth all throughout here. So let's place the emphasis where God places the emphasis and study this passage with an understanding and looking and to find more about this perfect love. This perfect love. Love may be the most misunderstood thing in the entire world. It's something we all desire and desperately seek to find. And yet, in this passage, it defines what perfect love is. We know that the world has their own idea of love, and it is not what the Bible says. Some people will carry the idea that love is a feeling, something bubbling up and makes us have the warm and fuzzies all over. Hollywood teaches that love is actually lust, and that their idea of love is definitely nothing near what the Bible has to say. So, what is love? What a great question. That's something we should define. The Bible here talks about that he loves us with a perfect love. The very nature of this expression, we could tell that we're not dealing with any other love, but the love that God has. Notice, if you don't mind, as we kind of remember things, the Bible talks about in John 3:16, the most famous Bible verse in all the world, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Love is going to begin with God, and God is the one who demonstrated this perfect love. How did he demonstrate it? By sending his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to us. Notice, if you don't mind, as we study this passage, we find out, first of all, the person of this love. The person of this love. We're thankful. The Bible says twice in this passage, God is love. Notice, if you don't mind, as we just get the context, verse number 7. "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God." Why? For God is love. It's going to say the same idea in verse 16 where it says God is love. Isn't it interesting that even people who call themselves Christians will sometimes miss the idea of God as love? They love the idea that God is love, but even their definition of God as love is different than what the Bible here talks about. So what is this idea, the person of this love? Well, God loves the vilest person just as much as he loves the most tender person. God loves us when we were unlovely. He loved us when we had no potential. He loved us when there was nothing good about us. He loved us when we had no desire for him. He loved us with such a perfect love. He was able to love the unlovely. The Bible does indicate that even an unsaved person is able to love someone who loves them. It's easy to be reciprocal. If you're nice to me, I'm nice to you. We could do that for anyone. It's easy to love people who are really nice and help people out, and it's nice to be nice to them. But this goes far beyond just loving someone who is naturally easy to love. God loved us when we were not easy to love. When we said, "God, leave me alone. I don't want you to talk to me anymore. Stop messing with me." He still loved us. When we were determined to break all of his commandments and say, "God, I want to live my life my own way," he still loved us. He loved us when we were vile. He loved us when we were disobedient. He loved us and continued to love us in spite of everything. Now, that's something hard to do, because most of us will have our limits where we cut bait and say, "Oh, I'm done. Forget that." But God loved us anyways, because he is the personification of love. He is that love. The Bible talks about, because God is love, and if we are born of him, guess what? God lives inside of us, the Holy Spirit who lives inside of us. And if the Holy Spirit lives inside of us and we are allowing God to be God in our life, we will love other people. Even people that we wouldn't naturally love. Whenever we get to the place, even as Christians, where we feel like we can't love people, it's because we're currently not in our rightful place with the Lord. Because if we're allowing God to be in charge, he will love people through us. That's a big deal. Because we could all get to the place where people aggravate us and we hate people and we just want them to live in the cabin of the woods and say, "Forget you all." But God does something in us that as we're surrendered to him, as we're close to him, as we're looking to him, he allows us to love people that we naturally could not love in our own flesh. Amen. To love the unlovely. Because that's how God works. He uses human instrumentality. If you are not a person who loves others, you are giving evidence that you don't know God. The Bible, again, 1 John chapter 4, verse 8, "He that loveth not knoweth not God." Why? For God is love. If we are going to be a reflection of who God is, then we're going to reflect his attributes. We're going to reflect his characteristics. God is love, and if I'm close to him, I'm going to reflect that same love, to love the unlovely. When we get the wrong attitude about people, it's because we have forgotten that though we were wretched, vile sinners, God loved us and sent his son to die for us, even though we were awful and sinners and nasty and vile. We often, as Christians, we can forget how bad we really were or how bad we really are, and that God loves us anyways. So we go from the person of love, and we start by looking at God and seeing who he is. Notice as it continues to go on in verse 9. It says, in this was manifested or made clear to made apparent the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten son. Notice that word begotten. As a reminder, that word begotten means special and unique. His special and unique son. Jesus, by the way, is his special and unique son. There's no other son like him. He is God robed in flesh, special and unique, no one like him. And God sent his only begotten son into the world that we might live through him. So notice, why did God send his son to die for us? Not only to save us, but that way he, God, can live through us. So he can show his love towards others using human instrumentality. If we're close to God, this is what God's purpose is for us to love others, as the Bible says, to be able to love the unlovely. Remember, we're going to define more about what we mean by love as we go on, but we start by looking at God. Verse number 10, herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. Propitiation is a word we covered before. Class, what does propitiation mean? Good. The appeasement of God's wrath. That God is no longer angry with us. As a further question, how do we know that God is no longer angry with sin? What is the evidence? Very good. The resurrection of Jesus Christ, that he did not stay dead. The resurrection of Jesus Christ proved two things: that Jesus was God and that God was satisfied with the payment that was made. He was our propitiation. So we deserved sin. We deserved punishment before our sin, and Jesus died for us. God was satisfied with that payment that was made, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus died for us, and as us, he paid our price. God was satisfied with the payment that was made, and now because he made that payment, we don't have love in ourselves naturally like God has. But because God loved us first and gave us the example of that perfect love, and now he, through the Holy Spirit, lives inside of us, we are now able to demonstrate that perfect love to someone else, to love the unlovely. Because God loves the unlovely. This is one of the reasons why it's important for us to outreach. This is one of the reasons for us to be used as an instrument. I remember several years ago, many years ago now, I heard of a church that they were concerned over the exotic dancers that was in town. And so some of the ladies decided that they were going to wait until the club closed late at night and then meet with them just to let them know that they were loved. And they made it their ministry to love the unlovely, to go out to Gothics and Wiccans to be able to reach them where they are and let them know that God still loves them and they're not just rejected. Again, it's easy for us to go find the good-looking people and the people that are nice and whatever else, but God loves all of them. And we're thankful that we can show the love of God towards people, and God wants to use us as this, which brings us to the perfecting of this love. The perfecting of this love. Notice with me in verse 11. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. So it begins with us looking at God, but as we look towards God, we now see that as God wants to use us, we're going to reflect this love towards others, that God wants us to be the evidence of this. Now, if we're going to love others as God loved us, there's a couple things that go with this, that we're able to love the sinner but hate the sin. If we love them the way that we ought, we want the best for them, even beyond what they may want for themselves. And love always produces action. So if we love someone the way that we ought, we want to see the best in them. We are willing to do what it takes to invest in them, to work with them, to help them to be the best. Yes. For example, if I love my children the way that I ought, I want them to be the best people they ought to be. So because of that, I will discipline my children because I want them to be their best. If they're doing something wrong, if they have a bad habit, let's say that one of my kids developed the habit of lying. Well, they can't go through life with that. They'll never be their best with that habit. Then it's my responsibility, because I love them and I want them to be their best, to correct that behavior. This is why the Bible talks about in the book of Proverbs that if we do not discipline our children, we do not love them. That's powerful things, because love always produces action. Because I love people, I want them to be their best. Because I love my wife, I want her to be the best person she ought to be. And I'm willing to sacrifice and to give of myself to help her become the best person she ought to be. If I love another church member, then I desire for them to be the best person that they ought to be. And I'm willing to give of myself, whether it's my time, whether it's my patience. Church people require patience sometimes, right?
Amen. Yeah.
To give of my time, to give of my patience, to give of my thought process, to give of my prayer life. Remember, if we love people, then I want the best for them. I also realize that I'm very limited. If I love them the way that I ought to, I'm going to pray for them and allow God to do the work.
Amen.
If I don't pray for them, it's an evidence that I'm not showing and exemplifying that love. Love always produces action. Now, we're trying to make that clear, because there's a lot of people who do the lovey-dovey, oh, let's just love everyone, but they don't help them become the best. They feel like loving someone is just giving them permission to do whatever they want. That's not love. That's not the love that God has. Because God doesn't let us do whatever we want. If we're his children, he will discipline us. He will correct our behavior because he loves us. He will not allow me to continue in sin. That's the love that God has. That's that perfecting of the love. Notice as it continues to go on in verse number 12. No man hath seen God at any time. True statement. If we love another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Now let's define this word perfected. We're going to see it several different times. What does the word perfected or perfect mean? It means to be made complete or to be made whole. So we perfect God's love. How? God loved us when we were unlovely, and he worked with us to make us something better than what we were, to help make us something different than what we were, to try to help bring us to where we ought to be. Now, to complete that love, God uses me to help someone else to be the best person they are. I've turned it around. This completion of this circle, this completion of what God is trying to do. By the way, how did God work in your life? Human instrumentality.
Amen.
God sent a human person to invite you to church, to give you the gospel. They loved you enough to give you the gospel, even though it was inconvenient to them.
Mm-hmm.
And you could think back of the person who witnessed to you. It was probably inconvenient to them. You're like, well, it was the pastor. Yeah, well, it was probably inconvenient to them. He probably wanted to sleep. Smile. There was a work. There was something, an inconvenience. There was sweat equity. They had to get the bravery. Some of you say, I don't like to talk to anyone. Well, they had to get the bravery to talk to you with the fear that you may reject them, that you may not accept what they say. that you may argue with him. They had to overcome that. Why did they overcome that? Because the love of God was perfected. God uses human instrumentality. None of us have seen God. All right? None of you have had God take his hand from heaven and just smack you on the back of the head. We deserve it, but God didn't physically take his hand from heaven. But he does use human instrumentality to show you love when you are unlovely. Maybe something bad happened to you, and instead of everyone lining up and kicking you, they loved you anyways. Amen. There was this perfective love that we get to be a part of this process, that God loved us, and now we get to be human instrumentality to show that same love to someone else. Someone loved me enough to correct my behavior. And God uses us to have different people within our sphere of influence to be able to correct their behavior, to love them correctly, to help them desire the best for them. There's so much that goes along with it, but it starts with God and how he loves us so completely and so vastly in all the different ways he demonstrates that love towards us. Then Christ allowed us to come to know him as Savior. And as we keep looking at God, he uses us to perfect that love, to make it complete, to make it whole. Notice this goes on in verse number 13. Hereby we know we that we dwell in him. That's a big statement. Remember, we find this all throughout 1 John as an evidence that I know him as Savior. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. Remember, the whole context here is that the Holy Spirit, who is God, lives inside of me, and that if I surrender myself and allow him to be in charge, I will love people that are unlovely and have a desire for them to be their best and willing to give of myself even with no hope of return to help them. And this is how I know I'm part of the process, is when God is using me as an instrument to help someone else. One of the great evidences, there's a joy that comes with investing in people, even though it takes out of my time and I'd rather be at home and I'd rather not be doing this, when I have the bravery to go talk to someone and see them actually accept it, to be a part of that. Notice again in verse 14, and we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. What are we telling about? Jesus. It's not our message. How do I help perfect the love of God in someone else? Tell them about the God of love. Mm-hmm. I teach them how to look at him himself. You get to know God. You get to know him yourself. I want to show you about this God who loved me so you could see that same love in you. Verse 15, whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, and God dwelleth in him, and he is God. And we have known and believed the love of God hath to us. So we can look at Jesus as the demonstration, the proof and evidence of the love, and that we can know and believe that God loved us, and that he dwelleth in love, dwelleth in God, and God in him. So we're seeing this love of God perfected. We start by looking at God. We realize all that God has done to love us. Then we turn around and love someone else with that same love. Notice as it goes on, one last thing, the power of this love. And the love of God is very powerful within our life. Notice with me in verse 17. Herein is our love made perfect. Now, we want our love to be made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so we are we in this world. Now, verse 17, there's a lot to that. You know, one day you're going to meet God one day, and you're going to have to stand an account. What are we going to stand account for? Did we demonstrate that love that God has for us? Did we make ourselves usable by God? And we, knowing that I'm going to have to stand before God one day, now have boldness, knowing that he lives within inside of me and he wants to demonstrate that love. I could have boldness to go tell someone else about the love of God. I could have the boldness to inconvenience myself, to work with someone else, to help them to be the best that they can, because I'm going to stand before God one day in the day of judgment, knowing that as he is, that's how I'm supposed to be in this world. What is my role today? To demonstrate the love of God, to be used as an instrument to show someone the love of God. Remember, love always produces action. It's not a type of love that's a warm, fuzzy feeling. It's not a type of love that Hollywood has that's actually lust. It's not a type of fake Christian love that we just say we love one another and just allow people to live however they want. We love the sinner, hate the sin. We will work with them to help bring them to where they ought to be in their life. Desire more for that. And God wants to use us as instruments. Every single one of us have influence with people. And we want to demonstrate that love of God. Notice it goes on in verse number 18. A wonderful verse. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. Because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect, complete, or whole in love. Now this deals with dealing with other people. There is a fear of dealing with people. Are they going to reject me? Are they going to push me aside? Are they not going to listen to me? Are they not going to reach their potential? What happens? And there's a fear that comes with it. And there comes a torment that comes with it too. Oh man, I really want the best for them, but I don't know if I should say anything. I don't know. And we come, and there's a torment that comes with fear. But perfect love casts out fear. God loved me when I was unlovely. I could invest in these people who are unlovely. But what if they don't respond? Well, God also had that same dilemma with us. What if we don't respond? Yep. And God loved us anyways. Perfect love casteth out fear. To be able to say, this is what God has for me. He wants to use me to love the unlovely. And I'm casting out that fear, knowing this is what God wants. Verse 19, we love him because he first loved us. As another reminder, when I get to the place of fear, my goal is not to say, all right, come on, shake it off. My goal is to go to the Lord and say, Lord, help me to see your love towards me. Understand that this whole year we have the theme of understanding the love of God. Why? Perfect love casts out fear. Understanding the love of God. Why? Because we love him because he first loved us. When I see how much he loved me and I spend time at the cross and I realize that I was unlovely in all that he did for me, then I have no problems moving forward for him. Perfect love casts out fear. And it starts by looking at the person of this love, spending time with him. And it sets everything else aside. And I'm able to do what I do, not because of people. Amen. We never do anything because of people. Why? Because people let you down. People are nasty. They're stupid. We do it because of God. And we invest in people because of God. People can never be our motive because people will let us down.
Yes.
God will never let us down. He's proven himself over and over and over. And even if people let us down, if we're looking at God, we can continue to go on. Why do people quit? Why do they no longer want to do the ministry? Why do they no longer want to show up church? Because they got their eyes on people and they got their eyes off the Lord. God will never let us down. People will. And so I have to stay looking at God. Verse 20, if a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. Remember, this is very big. Again, Proverbs talks about the idea of raising children. If I don't discipline my kids the way that I ought, then I don't love them. I can't say I love them. Jesus said, if you love me. So if we're not keeping his commandments, we're not loving him. You understand, love always produces action. This becomes a big deal. If we say that I love God and I don't obey what he's given me to do, well, then I'm a liar. Side thing, I have preachers sometimes that will vent out, and they're allowed, and they're like, well, my church folks, well, they don't want to go soul winning, and I feel like if I try to make them, they're going to rebel, and they don't want to respond at an altar, and I try to offer this and whatever else, and then they'll turn around, but they love the Lord. And I have to be mean and say, stop. Those two things don't work together. There's something wrong somewhere. Because this is what the Bible said, not what I say. If we hate our brother, if we're not obeying the Lord, if we're not doing this, then we don't love him the way that the Bible says. We have a cheap, lesser than love. We don't have a perfect love. that is demonstrated here. God loved us with a perfect love, and if we stay close to him, we reflect that love to love the unlovely. Notice again verse 20. If a man say, I love God and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love of God whom he cannot see? Well, that's a good question. You understand that if you will not love visible people, you cannot love an invisible. If you will not obey visible authority, you won't obey invisible authority. Just a principle. How we treat others is how we're going to end up treating God, because he loved the unlovely. Say, listen, I hate people, but I love God. Well, then you're an antithesis of what God is all about. God loved people. I can't love someone without also loving what they love. Does that make sense? If my daughter has a cat and she loves that cat, then by default, because I love her, I tolerate the cat. Right? There's the idea that you love what someone else loves. If I love God and I really love God and I try to perfect that love, I will also love what he loves, and he loves souls and he loves people. I cannot say I hate all people, but I love God. They do not work together. There's something wrong with the love that I have, my definition of love or my vision of God or my closeness to God, but they cannot work that away. Verse 21, and this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God loveth his brother also. Remember, it all begins with God. We start by looking at God. We start by getting closer to God. And as we get closer to God, we'll love what he loves. As we get closer to God and understand more of his love, we understand more how to love other people, even when they are unlovely, even when they are away from God, even when they're hurting others around them. We could still love them. It's not a type of love that's warm and fuzzy. It's not a type of love like Hollywood has that is lust. It is not a type of cheap, lesser than love that says, well, I just love people, but we don't do anything about behavior. It's a type of love that reflects the God's love for us. Aren't you glad that God didn't say, hey, you know what? I accept you for how you are. You just stay in the muck and the mire. You're good. I love you, though. Aren't you glad he didn't keep us there? He brought us out of the miry clay, put us on a solid rock, and tried to do something different with us. If you could allow a little segue and a personal illustration. A couple years ago, my wife was dealing with someone who was struggling a little bit. And the person in one of those non-thinking, you ever say anything when you're not thinking and just kind of vent and say something stupid? They said something like, well, of course, pastor is there. He grew up in this type of home. He grew up in this other stuff. He never had to deal with the things that you do. My wife laughed and said, listen, if you knew his background, you'd say, how in the world is he a pastor? Mm-hmm. That doesn't match the type of environment that I grew up. I did not grow up in a church home. I grew up in a physically abusive home. I grew up with drugs and alcohol. My biological father and my mom kidnapped myself over and over as children. And I mean kidnap, I mean breaking down a door, finding where I am, dragging me out, and all that other stuff. My parents still do not go to church. I did not grow up in a church home. I'm not complaining. I'm just saying God didn't keep me where I was at. He plucked me up, set me down, made me something different. He invested in me. He didn't just say, well, I love you and good luck. And he doesn't do that with anyone else either. Amen. That he plucks you up. He wants something different than you. He doesn't allow us to continue in the sin that we have. He doesn't allow us to continue in the muck of the mire. He has something better for us. And if we love others, we love the sinner, but hate the sin. Love them with the same type of love, where we love them regardless of what they're in and help them develop and into something different because we love them, because God loved them most of all. Herein is the love of God perfected, this perfect love, to be made complete or whole. God loved me, and now as he lives in me, he wants me to be used as a human instrument to love someone else that same way, to love and accept them and help bring them to where God desires them to be. Amen. Herein is the love of God perfected, this perfect love. And as we have this perfect love, it casts out fear. We just keep looking at him and seeing what God can do with someone else. There's something about that helps us when we could see potential. Yes. We could see what God could do with anyone to bring them out of the muck and mire, to bring them to the place of what God could do for him, for his kingdom and his glory and honor. It's easier to love people when you could see what God can do with them. Yep. And say, all right, it's worth the investment. Let's move. If you don't mind, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much again for you being a wonderful God. And as we come to you, we're just asking that you would just encourage someone here today that maybe they feel unlovely. Let them know, first of all, there's a God who loves them more than they could ever know. For those of us who are saved, help us to stay close to the Lord that we could understand more of the love of God and that we could be used by you to see others be brought to you and let you change their life, to bring them out of the muck and the mire, to bring them on a solid rock, to allow their lives to change for your glory and for your honor. Help us to learn and demonstrate this perfect love, the completion of the love that you had for us. In your name we pray. Amen. Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you could give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.